So what's the value of doing live classes? I've always hit on that. I've already hit on that, but you can see this picture. This is from a Shine conference. You may even see yourself in this picture. I don't remember which of the Shine conferences this was from, whether it was the first, the second, the third, but I've got people, you know, you've got your notes in front of you. People are taking notes. They're really paying attention. The advantage of doing things live and in person is that you can see the people and they're not out there just talking on the phone with somebody and partially pay attention. You've got them 100% attended to what you have to say. You've got the group sharing. You've got the ability to create social proof. So you've always got people who are real enthusiastic and real energetic and asking lots of questions. And that helps the rest of the group to get there. So they do their experiences, but you can also get at people's limiting beliefs, right? As you're presenting a concept to them, say that Michelle decides she's going to do a class on how to get your energy back with a delicious mouthwatering foods that support your adrenals. And her class is part education and part food prep. Okay. So she gets in there and she can actually start to address, like, who here thinks that they can get, you know, their energy back? And only a few people raise their hand. Okay, raise your hand if you want to get your energy back. And everybody raises their hand. Raise your hand if you've been told that you can't because it's your age, right? Raise your hand if you've been told that, it's just the way life is because you're busy. You have to get less busy and just sleep more and give up some of your activities. You know, so you can think about what some of the limiting beliefs are that are going to keep people from investing in your program. And you can subtly do it even when it has to do with money, because some of the objections are it's going to cost too much. Who thinks it costs too much to be healthy? Address it right up front. Like, who here thinks it costs too much to be healthy? And you get some people raising their hands. And for those that don't, you can even call on them and say, Mary, I saw you didn't raise your hand when you said, what do you think? What's your thought on the cost of being healthy? And maybe Mary starts to address some of the issues of, well, it costs more to not be healthy. It costs more to lose time from work. It costs more to, you know, to have to go to doctors and spend money on, you know, getting better, you know. So you can have the other students start to bring up and allay their other people's concerns. So it's a really good idea as you're teaching your class is that you're really paying attention to who your allies are in the class and who are the ones that are pulling back and have a lot of fear around the process. And you want to be able to set goals. So what we're doing here is I set goals for this training, and that's the stuff that you want to do within the groups that you're working with. So I'm modeling some of the things I'd like you to do is to, like, get some sharing going on right at the beginning. See if you can unearth those limiting beliefs and setting goals. So let's unearth some of your limiting beliefs. What are your biggest fears about doing classes in your community or online? What's your biggest fear? And do you believe that people will actually come and pay you money to hear you speak? Do you feel like you have some value to offer? And I want you to be really honest here. And I want you to use this as a forum to boost that confidence. So the other thing is that it helps you to get known in your community. So say you're just starting out, or like Michelle, you're going from being, say, an energy worker, or somebody else like Jane goes from being, say, a colon hydrotherapist and now wants to be seen as an expert in other areas. Doing classes helps you to get known as an expert. And believe me, when people like your classes, they tell people. So my very, very first food prep class here, where I live here in Texas, I, you know, was relatively new to the area. I had been here a little while, but I wasn't out there as a professional at all. This was about 11 years ago. It was 2006 or 5, so something like that. 2005, I believe. And I just started like, okay, I'm just going to do this for my friends. So I didn't charge. I made it on a donation basis, just put some money in the hat to pay for the food and come on over to the class. And I had about 8 people. And it was a comfortable environment. These were my friends. And I got to see what they liked, and they loved it. I got to see what recipes they liked, how they liked the way I did it. And I got to see that doing a class on a donation basis didn't work all that well. So I had 8 people there, and maybe I found about $50 in the jar. And I'd spent a lot of money on food, and I'd spent a lot of time. But it was a start, and I didn't make an offer because these were my friends. I mean, they knew me. Some of them were already my clients. So it gets you the ability to get known in your community, and we'll talk about ways to showcase yourself, to showcase your expertise. And here's the deal. Even if, whether it's a food prep class or an educational class, it's a really good idea to serve some food because it's like a conversation piece, because that's one of the biggest fears people have is like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to eat anymore if I, you know, go on this weight loss program or try to go get my energy back. I'm going to have to give up all my favorite foods. So you show them how delicious the foods can be, but you answer lots of questions and you evoke questions and you explain. I've seen people do food preps where they just say, now we're going to make a green smoothie, or now we're going to make this salad dressing. And first you do is put this into the blender, and then you add that, and then you add this, and then you add that, and now it tastes delicious. Well, that's great. You've taught them how to make a recipe, but they could get that on the Food Network. What you want to do is be teaching them about the different foods as you go through. So you're going to create that expertise. So, now we're going to make this salad. I started out with this romaine lettuce. And I like romaine lettuce because it's much more nutritious than iceberg. It's got a lot more calcium and a lot more of this and that. I also add to my salad some arugula. Now, as you're starting out, you may not want to add too much arugula because it is a little bit bitter. But as you get used to it, you're going to really enjoy it. And when I show you how to make this amazing salad dressing, you're going to see that it complements the arugula beautifully and you don't really taste it. So I'm going to put a handful of arugula in there. And now I'm going to also put a little bit of dandelion. And the reason I put dandelion, again, it's bitter, so don't put too much, just a little bit. But the dandelion's going to be very supportive of your liver. And so here you're demonstrating how brilliant you are with the food. So know your ingredients, be able to give them nutritional tidbits about the ingredients. So as you're building this meal for them, they're thinking, wow, I'm supporting my adrenals and my liver and my digestion. And wow, this is so cool. And wow, she's really smart. She really knows her stuff, you know. And then the way that you seed, I'm going to get a little ahead of myself. I'm going to be back and forth and, you know, weaving, doing a dance in and out of the agenda. Is you can say things like, oh, and when I work with my patients who are clients who have adrenal fatigue, I always incorporate, I always have them add X ingredient. And when I'm working with someone who has had a lot of issues that have stressed their liver, they've been on maybe some medications for a long time, or they've had some surgeries and they have anesthesia in their system, or they're exposed to toxics on their job. They maybe have, you know, pesticides, maybe they're a factory worker or whatever. When I'm working with those people, I always make sure I do X. So that's how you seed that you are an expert, that you have a clientele, and that you're available. Oh, she helps so-and-so with that problem. Oh, and one time I was working with a client who had these doubling over stomach pains. Every time they ate, they got this thing. And so this beverage I'm going to show you is a gut healer beverage, and it uses slippery elm and a little bit of licorice root, and it uses a little marshmallow and some other herbs, and it really helps to soothe and relax the stomach. So they're going, oh, wow, she helps people with gut issues. You know, so you're demonstrating how much you know, okay? You're demonstrating it. Now, the other value of doing live classes versus just having somebody get referred to you and they call you and they want to talk to you or doing it on Skype is that you connect and build rapport with a whole room full of your prospective clients. Now, maybe not 100% of them are prospective clients, but a good percentage are. And you build what's known as the KLT factor, the know, like, and trust factor. So they like you. You know, you're personable, you're smart, you're funny, you're teaching them how to make this great food, and they're starting to trust you. They taste the food, it tastes great. You're telling them all this great scientific information about it, and they're going, wow, she's really smart. so that by the time you make an offer, the trust is established. You've been with them for a couple of hours, and I highly recommend you do the classes at least 2 hours to be able to build that know, like, and trust factor. And they've gotten to know you versus if they just like called you up and said, hey, I've heard about what you do. Can you tell me more? And you do some kind of enrollment conversation. Yeah, you can really connect with them if you know how to do that, but not as well as here. And then if you combine doing a live class with at the end making an unpaid offer, making an offer for a strategy session, like, oh, I've got room for 5 free strategy sessions this month. There's 12 of you here in the classroom, so I'll take either the first 5 or I'll take the 5 of you that are most qualified. So jot down on my paper, fill out this form, however you want to do it. We can talk more as we go through this process of how to do that in a way. Now, I want to let you know that what I'm teaching you here in a one-day workshop is taken from other things, classes and things that I've done in terms of learning how to do these workshops to seed an offer. I did a program with Thrive Academy, which used to be called Rejuvenate Your Practice. That was 3 3-day weekends long learning how to do this. And then I went back and did a more advanced one. So I'm weaving in things that I've learned from a lot of advanced trainings, but also from having done literally hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours by now of these trainings and learning what worked for me and what didn't work for me. But mandatory, mandatory, mandatory. Even if you just offer a free strategy session at the end, which is not a just, it's a good thing to offer. You've got to offer something. Even if it's just like, oh, I have this ebook, go on my website and it's free and all you have to do is give me your name and email address. Or, you know, an offer to come to another class for free if they refer 3 friends to it. Or whatever it is that you feel comfortable with. But you've got to make an offer and you've got to establish your expertise and you've got to seed that offer so by the time the offer comes, they're wanting it and they're ready for it. So I'm going to go through a couple of the limiting beliefs before we move on to the next section. Martha says, no, I have value. I know that I'm 2 steps or more ahead of them. Great point, Martha, because you need to just be a couple of steps ahead of people. You don't need to be a major expert that's been doing this for 25 years. Sure, that helps, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it actually hinders because you can't relate to them as well as somebody who's only 2 steps ahead, right? I've been doing this for 30 years. I've been eating this way for 30 years. I've been living this healthy lifestyle for 30 years. And yeah, I think I still remember what it was like when I didn't. I still think I remember the transition, but I'm not as close to it as you might be if you've only been doing this for 3 to 5 years or less. Okay, so your length of time in the environment is not necessarily what is going to give you the best of results. Maria, for those starting out, tools and techniques to spread the word. Yep. Tony says, I do see myself. Elaborate on that, Tony. What do you mean by that? I'm in with the adrenal fatigue as well. Yep, that's for Elaine. Martha, what I've been letting limit me is that since I don't have a medical background, there's been resistance to taking my advice. I had a good turnout for the Go Green class because I invited people and everybody brought me a gift. Wow, that's really cool. So here's the deal. Some of the people that are most successful and they're doing online programs teaching people about health and about nutrition and about food have less background than you have because you've been in this program and being exposed to a lot of the basic science. There are people out there that just decide that they're the expert, they call themselves an expert, and they go for it. And they're helping a lot of people and they're changing a lot of lives. So you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have a medical background. And sometimes the medical background hinders you. Really dig yourself into the studies in this program and learn your nutrients and learn what foods have what nutrients and learn the benefits. Study my programs that I give for the public, like the GRAND program and the adrenal program, and look at the lists of these foods support adrenals, these foods support digestion, and really know those and share those with people when you're doing your class. So if you are doing a class on adrenals, pull out that list. Yeah, most of those lists have a huge amount of overlap, but there are some specific foods if you're working with somebody with their digestion, right, that you talk about making a slippery elm gruel or adding, you know, some glutamine to something, or specific foods that might be soothing, chamomile, that maybe you use a chamomile tea base as a, for a smoothie to get their gut soothed. So you use what you're learning in the modules to incorporate in your food class. And this will give you the opportunity to really do some prep before you start to teach your classes, is to go back to those modules, both in NEPT and in the associated client program for that particular area, and or the SHINE conference, because those are loaded with information and you guys have access to all the recordings of those. So you've got a lot of stuff, and do your homework, study. When I first started doing my classes, I would decide on what the particular topic was, and then I would spend hours like researching and going through my recipes and, you know, experimenting with recipes and making up my own recipes, because I'd see recipes like, oh, I don't like that recipe, but it has some good ingredients. Oh, what a great idea combining that. Oh, look, they made crackers out of chia, but look what they did, and they added these other things. Oh, I'm going to make my own chia recipe. So you can play with it and you can explore, but think it through how you're going to do this. This is a deliberate process. After a while, it won't have to be a deliberate process. You'll see for the class that I'm doing today, I have done zero prep right now, but I'm going to pull some recipes that I've done already. But a lot of times I just do it off the top of my head. Why can I do that? Because I've been doing this for 30 years. When you've been doing it for 30 years, you'll be able to do what I'm doing as well. But don't expect you to be where I'm at with that comfort level, because you haven't been doing it as long, but you can do it and you just need to be prepping. So thank you, that's a really good thing. Michelle says, something else I come against is it's hard to get some of the healthier ingredients locally at the grocery store. Clients don't want to run all over the place to find ingredients. So that's an objection, right? And if that's very true that they can't, what you have to do is help them with that objection so that they are either willing to run around to get the ingredients, so you create the value of doing that, or you teach them how to go online and find the ingredients. I mostly shop online. I mean, produce, obviously, I get locally. But most of the stuff I buy, I just go, oh, I'm out of maitake, dried maitake mushrooms. Let me go see if Mountain Rose has them. Oh, I'm running low on almonds. Let me go to Z Natural Foods and see if I can order some. So you have these things and you teach them how to order, and handling objections is important. Not like solving the exact problem that they've come up with, because you can't unless you open up your own natural food grocery store to be able to supply that. But no, you teach them how to get around it and why it's important, the value of actually doing something different than what their status quo is, the value of doing it. Michelle says, I think I would say some of my beliefs are that people want to feel better, but they don't want to change their diets. I've actually gotten feedback on this from clients. They want to know how to feel better without changing their diets. And Michelle, if they want to know how to feel better without changing their diets, you say, that's a great question. Let me know when you figure it out. Because you can't poke them if they won't change their diet. You can't. If they're eating crap and they're not willing to change it, you say goodbye, or you have to educate them as to why it's important. That's the beauty of doing food classes, because they come in with that attitude. They see how easy it is. They see how great it tastes. So Michelle, if you're finding that everybody you meet has that attitude, there's something in you projecting it. You're scared that that's what they're going to feel, because you know it's a lot of work. But you also know the value of it. So I really work on that from a perspective. I don't have that attitude. I don't have that attitude anymore. I used to. But I know that when I can show people how easy it is to make food that tastes delicious and also nourishes them, I get them on board. And I see it just when I'm not even trying, when I just make a great dish for a potluck and I bring it and people are like, what did you make? Oh my God, that is so good. That's healthy for me. I need to learn how to do this. Got it? So that's what, you know, so everything that you come up as their objections, what holds you back, is really living in you. So work on it in you. What is it that you, why do you believe that? Why do you believe that? And if they're telling you that, then it's because you're not presenting it in such a way that, oh my God, it's such a great benefit. Did you know? And you want to educate them about what's wrong with the crap that they're eating. What's wrong with hydrogenated fats as you talk about the benefit of omega-3s and how you're going to put hemp seeds and walnuts into this recipe because they're high in omega-3s and how the benefit of that, right? How using coconut oil or olive oil would be advisable over using canola oil and why. And when you can address the one-to-ones, right? They're drinking cow's milk. Well, how can you teach them how to do something different? Even just moving to, you know, the organic coconut milk in a bottle, a jar, a container is better. And then you can move them in that direction. So you've got to educate them as to what the damage the foods that they're eating are doing. I remember distinctly, I've told this story before, forgive me if you've heard it, but I remember having one person who took a 6-month class from me. And at the beginning of the class, she said, you know, I've heard about all this food, but I don't really want to, you know, I don't want to have to give up my Cheetos and my donuts when I go out with my friends. I just want to be able to do that. And yeah, at home, I want to eat, I'll eat healthier. But she was really objecting to it. And so I educated them. I educated them about what each of these foods was doing. What was the danger of the hydrogenated fats, the heated fats, the trans fats? What was happening when they were putting this white flour and sugar into their body? What it was doing to their hormones? What it was doing to their immune system? So that's the value of these classes. So think about all the ways that people are going to object. And then you think about, how can I handle that objection? They call it dancing with objections in some of the trainings I've done. That's what Jesse and Charlotte of Thrive Academy like to call it. Dancing with concerns, right? Dancing with objections. So think about all those, the reasons that people don't want to change. And what do you have to teach them in order for them to be able to change? Great. Thank you for bringing it up, Michelle. The other problem, Martha says, is that it was the feeling that, oh, this is nice, Martha. So I guess I didn't really attack the problem and why you would want to change. Stop doing the class because at that time I didn't know I could have a program and wanted the attendees to buy into buying products from a company that you supported. Yeah, so think about what the call to action is at the end of every class. Call to action, if you ever see CTA, what's the CTA? Call to action. What do you want them to be able to do? What action do you want them to take at the end? Now, the action might be that they go home and they make the recipes. That's great. That's a great call to action for them. That's not going to get them to take the forward thinking, the forward actions of learning more from you. So maybe the call to action is I want them to know enough to feel comfortable going home and making my recipes, and that they want to know more. And they set up a consultation to chat with me about how this food can change their life. So you think about it. What's the call to action of this class? Always think about that as you're designing your class, so that throughout the class, you're weaving in things that are going to get them psychologically moved in that direction. Does that make sense? So Michelle said, the belief maybe is that it's hard to eat healthy, plus they don't really want to change their diets. Maybe also believe that they already eat healthy. So there's how you do it. And you don't attack them with that, Michelle. You just present the information. You know, a lot of people think that eating whole wheat toast for breakfast is a healthy breakfast. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not as healthy as you might think. Yeah, it might be better than eating Wonder Bread. It might be better than Cap'n Crunch. But here's some of the problems with that. And if you're experiencing any of these problems, it could be your breakfast. And here's what happens when you eat a really balanced breakfast. And I'm going to teach you today in today's class about how to start the day so that the rest of your day, so that you accentuate fat burning and energy throughout the day. You know, breakfasts that trigger fat burning and energy and boundless energy through the day. Wow, who doesn't want that? What's your breakfast doing to you? Let's dissect breakfast. Right? So you may have to do some dissecting of the ingredients in what they're eating so that you show them why those ingredients aren't so hot and how they can substitute. And people love the swaps, right? They love lists of swaps. oh, if you're eating, you know, Cap'n Crunch, here's a swap that you can do. Here's a good, better, best, like Tony likes to say. So here's a Cap'n Crunch, which is bad. And we're going to say, let's go to an improvement. You know, maybe they get a whole grain unsweetened cereal, you know, and there are a few of them on the market that are pretty clean. And then maybe they swap from that up to something like a chia porridge, right? Where they're doing something else, and a green smoothie. So you give them options. You give them ways to move. Maybe they're drinking coffee, instant coffee, and maybe the first substitute is getting them some of the bulletproof or longevity coffee, which doesn't have all the funguses in them, and teaching them how to add some coconut oil and some herbs, some adaptogenic herbs to it, and blending it up. I just saw someone, Elena Love, did a video on that, how to take the coffee and then add all these mushrooms and other things. And then maybe you move them to, well, let's substitute the coffee for Tulsi tea, right? Little bits at a time. Shonda, I think that my limiting belief that I don't know enough, I'm not good enough, and others will do better sometimes stops me. I'm working hard doing stuff anyways and not letting those thoughts stop me. Guess what, Shonda? Those thoughts will be there all the time. I have those thoughts too. Believe it or not, I do this. I get out there, but I'm always thinking, oh, somebody else might know more than me. What if I don't know enough? You know, it's dissipated a lot as I've gotten experience with this. But I had a conversation with somebody that, you know, you guys would know if I named her, and I'm not going to. But I said, you know, there were some things I'm not doing in my business right now that I should be, that would help me move forward. And it was because of my fear that I wasn't good enough or that people would reject me and whatnot. And she said, I have those fears too. We all have those fears. I wish I could say they go away the more successful you get, but they don't. But what you're doing is working through it and allowing yourself to take the feedback you're getting. And I don't know, let me get back to you on that, is an awesome answer to a question. You know what I mean? Don't try to fake it. Just always say, you know, that is a really great question. I'm going to jot that down. And why don't you give me your email address and I will get back to you on that. Or, oh, that's a great question and I handle that. It's way beyond the scope of this class, but I handle that in one of my workshop handouts or one of my handouts that I give my clients. See me at the end of the class and I'll arrange, you know, let's have a consultation and I'll arrange to get that to you. Right? So you use anything, like you use the I don't knows to build rapport with people, to get follow-up and do follow-up with them. Martha says, guess we need to think of how we got our kids to eat and change their mind even without the education. Well, mine, it was education. From the time they were little itty bitty things, my kids, I fed them what I fed them when they were little. They had no choice when they were babies. And then my son at a year and a half would be like, see somebody eating something like a cookie, say, what that, mommy, what that? And I say, oh, that's a cookie. Oh, can I have that? No, honey. Well, the reason we don't eat those is it's got white flour in it, and white flour does this to the body, and it also has some milk in it and some eggs and some sugar, and that's what this does. And he'd go, oh, I don't want that. And that was that, right? And he learned to make those choices. He's 22 now and he's still making those choices, but it was education. So really think about it. If it was your kids, there was some education there. You know, yeah, there's probably some coercion or some, you know, this is what we have and you're not getting anything else. But it's education. Education is so valuable, which is why we're doing this today. Michelle, love the way you look at their objections and know they'll have them. They always will have them, and how to teach them about that. Yes. Swap dark roast yerba mate for coffee. There you go, Diane. Thank you. Swaps are great. People love swaps. Maria says, I have an issue of giving too much info during presentations or even during my strategy sessions. Need to learn how to control info I give so I don't overwhelm them and interest them. Yes, Maria, this is a problem that I had for so long and I'm still working on not giving too much. I still think I do this during some of my preview calls, like a preview for a program, that people get so much out of that call that they go, oh, I don't need the program. I'm just going to work on what you gave me already and I'll come back in a few months. Yeah, so, and it's hard to withhold and know that giving them too much is doing them a disservice because you can overwhelm them. So what I've learned to do during the classes is if they ask a question that I can answer quickly, I will say, Oh, that's a great question. Well, you know, omega-6 and omega-3s have to be balanced. It's a little more depth than I want to get into right now, but I have more information about that in my XYZ program. And if you want, we can chat about, you know, whether that's a good fit for you. So you seed it. And during strategy sessions is another whole thing altogether. And I highly recommend you watch the Bill Barron enrollment conversation talk that we did in the Practice Building Success System, because he talks about that. And if you haven't gotten his program, it's certainly a good investment. I'm not sure if he still offers us the discount that he offered us last year when he came in and did that, but a lot of people did join it, and he has all kinds of checklists. The Thrive Academy has that too in their which class do they have it in? I think in their double year practice class. It's a bit of a higher investment than the Thrive, I think. But there's ways to get that information. Alma, I share the same fears as Shonda. Also a fear that no one will show up if I were to do a class. That's a big fear. I actually did have one class that I did that only two people showed up for. It was shocking because it was a Halloween class, and I thought everybody's gonna flock to it. But you always know in advance, right? So if you do registration, which I highly recommend, you know in advance, and you can postpone a class if you don't get enough of a registration. Violaine, my limiting belief is that everyone think that they can learn everything free on Google and they don't need me. Yeah. So that you can address that then. You know, you may think that a lot of the stuff I'm teaching you can get on Google, but you know, it's really overwhelming if you just start Googling and try to figure out a program yourself. Believe me, I've tried it. I tried it. And it was my experience that, you know, I was trying this herb and that herb and trying to get my adrenals back. But it was when I actually worked with somebody. You can share your experience with doing the test and bringing it to one of our calls. You can, you know, you don't have to say it was as part of a training, but you say, look, I did my adrenal test. And what happened was I found out these things. I had the education of a mentor to take me through what actually I needed to do, and it cleared it up, and I was feeling better within a couple of weeks versus years of suffering before that. So yeah, there's a lot of information out there, but it's really hard without the help of someone who knows you and knows the information to really apply it to yourself. One objection I don't know how to respond to is when people say everything in moderation. So they're happy drinking cow's milk in moderation, eating white bread. And I say, sure, what about arsenic in moderation? You know, poisons in moderation, some of them are quick poisons and some of them are slow poisons. And so, yeah, once you're healthy, once you're perfectly healthy and everything's fine, you have plenty of energy, you're the exact weight you want to be, your hormones are balanced, you no longer have hot flashes, everything's working fine. Any, you know, having something a couple of times a year, maybe even once a month, might not hurt you. But if you're in the state right now where your energy's low, where you're not feeling well, you've got to just remove all those variables. And taking out the stuff that's not serving you and putting in stuff that serves you is awesome. Oh, this is a good one, Maria. You'll get this. How to handle, How to handle those clients who keep asking for more info, how to respond properly so it doesn't sound like I don't want to share. So that's a really delicate piece. So if you're in a class and you've got one person just keeps asking questions, but they want to know more, you say, Mary, these are great questions. They're awesome questions and I'd love to answer them right now, but it could take me 15 minutes or so to do that. And it's just not within the scope of this particular class. But if you want to talk to me afterwards, I'll share with you how I can get you answers. Or I need to know more about you. So I'll talk to you afterwards about how we can set that up so that I can learn more about you so that I can answer your questions more properly. So it's just a matter of putting them off and allowing them to know that that's a little beyond what we have time for now. Yeah, and I'll go through more of these as we go through. Let's see. Lynn says, Shonda, I often feel like a fraud and someone is going to find me out. Guess what? I do too sometimes. It's like, oh, I don't know as much as I should know about this. I gotta study more. We all have that, okay? Just get over it. We'll share with that. And everybody's saying that. Why am I considering the online classes? Is no one shows up
you know, lease, record, and sell it as part of a package. I've done essential oil classes, and it's too much work for two people.
Yeah, totally. That's why I'll share with you how to do the joint. So you can show up, and even if only two people show up, great. You only have to feed two people. Super. You get it recorded, and now you have a product.
Cassandra said Bill's Barron's program was very helpful. V'Elaine says lots of moms are ruled by their kids and the fact that their kids only want kids' food.
You know what? Mom's in charge, and mom buys the food. So mom doesn't have to buy crap. My stand is, now that my kids are older, my youngest is 17, almost 18 now, he drives, he goes out. If he wants junk, he buys it himself. He works, he has to buy it, he has to spend his hard-earned money on his food. If he wants good, healthy food, I'll provide it for free. I'll get him whatever he wants. So moms can't let their kids rule. And here's what I throw out there. It says, really, you give your kid the candy because everybody else gets the candy and they're begging for it and, you know, they want that, right? Yeah. And I don't know how to get around it. And I said, great. What if your kid was asking for cigarettes and wine? Would you say no? Would you tell them that they can't have that? Well, of course. All right. So I'd give my kid wine before I'd give them Coke. I would give my kid wine before I'd give them M&Ms, right? I think it's a healthier food. And plus, they'd pass out before they drank too much anyway. And they look at me like I'm, you know, from Mars. Listen, here's what you're doing. When you're saying yes to your kids, here's what you're providing them. Here's the risks that you're taking. You're the mom. You get to choose. When they're making their own money and driving themselves around, you can't control them anymore. You've got to establish some good education. I have two kids. One's 22. He's listened to me his whole life. He's still made it all the way through college, stayed true to his vegan, whole foods, real food principles. Now he's in a dorm where he has a kitchen. He makes kale salad and sauteed broccoli and quinoa and, you know, quinoa pasta. And he's the one that's chosen this path. The 17-year-old, as soon as he got the car and got out on his own and can drive himself around and got a job, he eats crap. I can't control him anymore, except I can control what I have in the house for him. Guest, I put on a group program and had people who were interested, but no one signed up. I realized my business wasn't ready for a group program at that time because I was just shifting from being known as a therapist to being known as a women's health coach. Yeah, that's perfect. So group coaching programs are not something you can do right away. You really have to start establishing yourself in the one-on-one because it is hard to fill a group coaching program. You need to have a lot of volume of people that express interest to get the six or whatever number you need. So it's really good to do the one-on-ones. And then as you start to get too busy with that, then you start to do it differently. And, you know, and we can talk about some of those aspects. Kate, just a quick share. I found it's very helpful to compare the highly addictive nature and effects of highly processed food to something more commonly thought of as harmful, like cigarettes. Yes, exactly, Kate. That's exactly what I just said. People recognize it as a mechanism of addiction. It takes some of the personal guilt away from it. That's awesome. And it opens them up to change. This also addresses when people bring up the subject of everything in moderation. Yay. Okay. Gila says, I can relate to you, Rita Marie, about your kids eating crap. So sad, yes. Yeah, well, my older one, no, and my younger one, yes. And he's very conscious of his body, as this perfect body with, you know, six-pack abs and all from all the workouts he's done. And he was eating some kind of chips, and he said, had taken his shirt off. He goes, do I look like I've gained some weight? So I capitalized on that. I mean, he didn't really, but I went, yeah, look right there. That looks like you have. I said, you know, all those chips, that's what's going to do it to you. You better watch it. He goes, yeah, maybe I should cut down on those chips. Right? So you find a way to establish that. So we've gone through the agenda. You've got great things. I've handled a lot of the objections already, but as we talk about this, I'll show you how to weave them into your classes. We've talked about the value of doing a live class. I want to just talk a couple more, and then we're going to take a break in about 10 minutes. We'll take about a 15-minute break, and then we'll come back and we'll continue and we'll go into the actual logistics. I want to share with you how to do the recordings and how to do all the things that are needed to get people to show up. So classes break the ice, right? Because they get the feeling of you. So even if you offer at the end of that a free consultation or a low priced consultation with you, they've seen you in action, and they're already warmed up to you. It's not like, you know, Mary sends Susie to your office and she shows up and you've never met Susie before. You've got this half hour, 45 minutes, an hour to establish a rapport. And if it's on the phone, it may be even a little bit more difficult than in person. And you've got to break the ice. They've had 2 hours with you teaching this class, so they feel like they know you. You may not know them, but they feel like they know you. So they're already coming in with some of their reserves down. That's the beauty of using classes to get consultations, even if that's the only reason you do classes. You educate people and you get consultations. It can be an amazing vehicle. So we're going to talk just briefly about how to create the class so that you can build your practice. Because we always have to have a mechanism for bringing people into consultations with us, whatever our business is. You have to have some marketing. And what is your main marketing tool? My main marketing tool is teleseminars and webinars. That's what I've used. And secondary is live events, right? When I first started out, my main marketing tool was praying, sitting by the phone and hoping somebody was going to refer. And I didn't even ask for referrals. I mean, if you're doing a referral-based practice, you've got to have a mechanism for consistently asking for referrals. Well, I love the concepts of talks because you're educating people and you're getting people in to see you and showcase your expertise, and then they're warmed up to you. So you can use any of the presentation in a box things that I've given you. So we're going to have one at the end of the digestion piece, and we also have one in blood sugar. So all of you have access to those. You can start with my presentation in a box, my slide presentations, and start to use that to educate. I know Tony's used it a lot and others have done it. Practice it with a small group of friends. Just say, hey guys, I'm going to be doing these presentations. I'd love to share it with you. I'm not going to charge you. Come on over. I'll give you some free food. You could do it on a free teleconference line. Even if you're going to do it live, if you just get one of these free conferencepro.com kind of lines, you just get on and you practice it. And I'll show you some of the tools I use to create slides if you're going to do slides. You can do slides in person, and that would require that you have a PowerPoint and some sort of projector. You could do it the old-fashioned way and actually make slides. I don't know if you can actually get slides made anymore. But you'd have to have a little bit more equipment if you're going to do a live presentation that way. We'll talk about equipment in a little bit. You can record it if you do it on a presentation line, and you can play it back for yourself and see how it lands. So if you're not quite ready to invite anybody over to do it, you just do it on a teleconference line, or I'll show you how to some of the live streaming things like Google Hangout that you can record it on and see yourself back. And you can do, there's a lot of this stuff you can do for free. Zoom is another way to do it. You can ask a small group of clients to come listen in on the conference line, or you could do it just for yourself. And practice making an offer for a strategy session. Practice the offer at least 10 times. Listen to how it comes over. Make sure that you're seeding throughout. And when we talk in a little while about the content and the flow, seeding is a big thing. And basically, seeding is planting the seeds for the fact that you have something bigger than this to offer, that you have an ability to give them a transformation that they crave. And listen when you ask questions and they give you feedback. Listen if you have them do introductions, which if it's small enough, I highly recommend you do. Listen and jot down in your mind or on a piece of paper some of the language that they're using to express their fears and their pains, so that when you're working, you're seeding back, you're presenting things in such a way. You don't go back and say, well, Mary said that she was concerned about, you know, the fact that her energy is so low and she doesn't have any energy for sex or desire for sex, and she's afraid her husband's going to leave her and her kids are going to, you know, be frustrated with her because she doesn't have energy. No, you don't go back and do that. You don't repeat their name and repeat their objections. But what you do is, you know, you tell stories of clients who've had maybe one of their issues Or you tell stories of your own when you had some of those issues, or you just address those issues. This food is really great for helping to restore your adrenals, which, you know, when your adrenals are messed up and you're really under a lot of stress for a long time, your sex drive goes out the window. That's just a protective mechanism. So if that's happening to you, that's not a reflection on you. That's a reflection on the stress. And here's some ways that we can help you deal with that. And you go into the stress from food, there's stress from finances, there's stress from all those other things. So I'm going to do this value of a food demo class, and then we're going to come back and we're going to dig in further. So the value of actually showing them the food and letting them taste it is they see how easy it can be. So I'd highly recommend that you start with demonstrating nice, easy recipes. They experience the joy of eating healthy foods. I remember one of my first dessert classes, I think I called it Healthy Decadence Desserts. And I taught people how to make a cheesecake. And people were just like blown away at how easy it was to make this cheesecake and how delicious it tasted. And I taught them how to make ice cream. I had this little ice cream maker and how easy it was and how healthy it could be. And I taught them all these great things. And they were like, wow, this is easier than I thought. Wow, this tastes great. I can eat this way. It gets them started better than reading a book, right? You read a recipe in a book, you can't imagine how easy it is or hard it is to make. And you also don't know what it's going to taste like. So you gain their trust real early on. They're going, wow, she really knows her stuff. And she's really, this food tastes good. So maybe if she tells me other things to do, it's going to be as good as this. You get to answer nutrition questions with the food right there. So you get to pick up the cabbage and say, cabbage is such an amazing thing. We're going to slice this up real small and make this amazing coleslaw. And you know, cabbage has this compound called sulforaphane. And sulforaphane's been tested and shown to be beneficial for protecting your immune system. And in particular, there have been studies that have shown its relationship to cancer. You know, and I'm not saying if you have cancer, you should just eat cabbage. Make sure you talk to your doctor about it. But cabbage is this amazing thing. And it also helps to, you know, support your stomach. It helps to soothe your stomach. It helps to dissipate those dangerous estrogens that contribute to breast cancer. Estrogen's not bad. It's the dangerous metabolites. And guess what? Cabbage helps you to get rid of those. Wow. Did I just convince you? Like, wow, I want to go eat some cabbage. Right? You get excited. You get passionate about the food. You're showing it to them. If you say, oh, I want you to eat more leafy greens, they're going, okay. And they go to the store and they buy some iceberg lettuce, right? No, you're showing them. And there's arugula and here's dandelion. Why don't you taste it? I'm going to pass a little around before I make this dish. I just want you to taste it. So you get a sense of what this feels like on your tongue. And this is what it's doing in your body. And it may not taste great when I just pass it around that way, but wait till I combine it with these other things. And we're going to take a bitter and we're going to add a sweet and we're going to add a sour and we're going to add a little bit of saltiness. We're going to do this all in healthy ways. And your mouth is just going to burst with flavor when I'm done. Who's up for that? So when you create the recipe guide properly, and we'll talk more about this in materials, you can actually sell your practice. So you do a food prep class, and maybe you do 4 or 5 recipes. You give them a handout that has those recipes in it. And I highly recommend, in addition to the physical handout, that you give them a PDF version of it, not that hard to do. And that gives you an excuse for capturing their emails and emailing them. And in that recipe guide, you have your recipes, and then you have your bio. And in your bio, it tells them your education, your passion, why you love what you do in regard to teaching people about using food as medicine to help them heal. And then you have other services and programs. So if you've written a little ebook, if you've done a presentation, if you have particular service, like maybe you have a pantry, kitchen and pantry makeover. Maybe you have the service where you can get people either alone in their home, or you can get them to invite other friends, that you go to their home and you help them to clean out their pantry and set it up and make some foods and stock their freezer or refrigerator. You have that all listed in your recipe guide. And it positions you well to make an offer because they're liking what they're seeing. And you're taking away some of that fear. And if ingredients are hard to get in your neighborhood, address that and say, you know, these are hard to find, but where I found this is at this market and that at this market. And you know what else? I found these online sources where you can order it and have it there in a couple of days. With Amazon Prime these days, you can order stuff and have it there in 2 days. And they have a lot of the groceries, not so much produce, although some of them are actually going to be starting that soon. But you've got them where you can order organic nuts, organic herbs, organic stuff that you may not be able to get locally. So address that concern like Michelle had by giving them the resources, and you can put that in the recipe guide. I used to do these 20 or 25 page and sometimes 30 page recipe guides for a 2-hour class. Did I over deliver? Yes, I over delivered. Did it benefit me? Absolutely. A lot of those people who were coming to those classes are now clients paying me thousands of dollars to be in group coaching programs. Some of those people who used to come to those classes and pay me $25 to teach them all this stuff and give them great value, they know what great value I give. They've signed up when they came to my bigger event, and they signed up for a $5,000 year-long energy recharge coaching program because they had that rapport. Some of them, it took years to do that, but they did it because I built up the rapport. So it's basically you're building relationships, you're building trust, you're giving them stepping stones. And if they don't all sign up right there, that doesn't mean they're not going to come back later and sign up. In particular, we had this happen last year at our Spring into Vitality. 3 people who had been coming years ago to our classes signed up for our high-end program. And one of them signed up for the $5,000 level, which is the silver level. One of them signed up for the $8,000 or $9,000 level, which was the gold. And one of them signed up for the $25,000 level, which is our diamond, okay? Because they saw where I came from. They watched me. They were ready. They were now ready. And this was years later. So don't underestimate the value of doing this stuff, guys. You're building followers. They're going to recommend other people come. They may not buy. They may not take your services right there, but they will do your services. So we're going to take a break now. We're going to take a break for about 15 minutes. So we're going to come back. It's 34 minutes past the hour. Here it's 11 in the West, bless you guys for being here. It's only 9:30 in the morning, and guys on the East, it's 12:30. So at, let's see, 15 minutes would be 50, right? So 11:50, we'll be back here. Be back here sharp. Come back a couple of minutes early. I'm going to pause. I'm going to stop the recording, so we'll have multiple sections of the recording. And what else? I think that's it. Go and get yourself some nourishment. Go outside. Think about some of the things that we've been brewing. When we come back, I'm going to teach you a little bit more, and then we're going to do an interactive exercise. So what I want you to do on the break is think about what kind of class you want to focus on. Do you want to focus on an education-only class? Do you want to focus on a food prep class where you weave into the education in? Or do you want to have it be an educational class with a couple of demos of small things so that people get to taste? So think about that, and think about topic-wise. Think about what you want to focus on in terms of your specialization. We don't have to specialize, but it helps to niche things down, at least initially. So for example, like Steph, for example, focuses on gut bugs, very specific gut bugs. Isabel is focusing on gut health, right? Violaine and Michelle both said they want to focus on adrenal health. Cassandra really works with women who are high-powered, you know, overachievers, trying to calm them down and dissipate the effects of stress on their body and teach them how to balance that. And she just detoxes. So what is it that you want to focus on? You don't have to be married to a niche, but pick something now that really excites you that you want to share with people. Maybe it's blood sugar. Maybe you've taken my blood sugar course and you've used the presentation in a box already. And you think that's a great class to do, like balancing your blood sugar, where you teach them about it and you demonstrate how great these low glycemic foods can taste. So I want you to be thinking, wheels turning, and come back with an idea. Doesn't have to be a title. We're going to talk about making titles, but an idea for something for you to present. I'll see you back here in 15 minutes.